As I think about things, which is what I do in life, I always think, what do we really need? What really benefits us and the world? And it always comes back down to the strength of each one of our relationship with God affects everything in the world. If we're going to have any impact at all in the world, it's going to be because of our own personal relationship with God, ultimately. Not so much what we accomplish and all that, but just if we're in fellowship with Him and we're healthy, then His kingdom can come and His will can be done. And so we never want to underestimate the value of our own walk with the Lord. And for a lot of us in our Christian attitude, there's kind of an there is this attitude, there is this concept of lay your life down for the kingdom. Now, when I was in my, I was around 17 when I was so frustrated with being on fire for God and then kind of being not and being wussy and being pushed off my mark, so to speak. And then, anyway, I came to a point, and some of you know that, I came to a point where I was just one night, I was just so frustrated. I just said, Lord, if I'm not going to live for you, I don't want to live at all. You know the future. I don't know if this is a legal prayer. That's what I actually said to him. I said, I don't know if this is legal or not, but this is where my heart is at. And I took my dad's big old tall four-wheel drive, and I said, I'm going to give you opportunity to take me home. And right or wrong, I don't know. I got home, and I just sat there in the pickup and cried. And I thought, man, that was a really stupid thing I did tonight. At the same time, as years went by, the Lord said, well, you made a solid decision that night that's carrying through. And I failed a lot after that. But at the same time, that decision carried me through. Lord, I laid my life down for your kingdom and for what you want done. And that's a great attitude. And that's those who lose their life find it. But you got to remember, the rest of you do find it. And now I listen to people and they just say, one of the biggest things we got to do is take care of ourselves. That sometimes is a hard message for me because in my mind, taking care of myself sometimes, unfortunately, relates emotionally that means I won't take care of anybody else. And it's like, I can't do that. I got to take care of, And so it's not just take care of yourself and don't take care of anybody else, but it's take care of yourself so you can take care of others longer and better. And so I just want to share with you this, having a heartbeat of saying, Lord, I come before you to get strong. I come before you to get all that I can get because the fuller I am, the healthier that I am, the more life, the more Spirit of God that dwells in me, the more is going to go out to people around me. And so there are subtle things I believe that, we don't live out of our mind, but we think we do. We think logically, but we really don't. Ask any guy why he's buying a pickup, and he'll give you logic reasons. But his wife knows it's not logic at all. It's just an emotional. He wants a truck. We justify all kinds of things, but the truth is we live out of our heart. And that's a wild thing to understand that which is written in your heart is not always, your mental capacity is not always in tune with that. You don't always know what's in your heart. Without the Holy Spirit helping you see that, you won't know. So today, again, we're be dealing with our own hearts and some concepts that need to be maybe erased and rewritten. So I want to make this statement. Scarcity prevents each from having as much as he desires, which makes men enemies. Scarcity prevents us from having what we desire. And when that happens, then the natural course of that, it makes us enemies. You think about the motive for most sin. Alex is over there. We've been supporting him financially, but also just in communication. He's the young man that's going to Prague in a university there to learn to be a diplomat. And so he and I have been sharing and talking, and he's reading Hobbes, which is a philosopher from the 17th century, I think. And so he sent me some of the stuff, and I was looking at some of that, and it was just talking about how just like humans, you know, start lacking, so then they start wanting to go after, you know, after the stuff. So it is when nations or organizations or governments become an entity in themselves, they do the same thing. And really, bottom line is the one reason we get war is because somebody thinks they're going to be lacking something if they don't get the other person's stuff. And so they go after it. What? Let me just read to you out of Exodus 16, 18. It says, and when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. And this is talking about the manna when God fed the children of Israel. And it would come up in the morning, and they would gather it up. And if you gathered a whole lot, you were okay. If you gathered a little, you were okay. You had what you needed, and more than enough. And changing out our concept of scarcity with abundance is a real powerful thing for us to walk with God. As long as we have a scarcity mentality, we are going to be so susceptible to so many wrong things and wrong thinking and then wrong actions. James says this. He said, what is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source, your pleasure that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's quite a bit to think about in there. But just for today, just going to want to highlight that what is the source of your quarrels is because you do not have and you lack, so you go after somebody else's stuff. And yet, that concept, you know, really opens the door again to all kinds of evil. In my life, I notice, you know, sometimes when I'm the things where I fail at, and some of them are physical things, and some of them are mental things, some of them are self-control things or whatever else. But I find one of the emotions I look for in my life or feelings that makes me real vulnerable to falling and failing is the feeling of lack. Okay? If I feel lack, a lot of things start stirring up in me. And talk about wrong motives and talk about, you know, all that. And for a long time, I just, or still quite often, I just say, well, it's okay. I can get by without it. I've got my eternal destiny. I'm going to be fine. And that's a good foundation. No matter what happens to me on this earth, no matter what happens to you, you belong to God and you're going to live with him forever. That's a great foundation. That's a great place to stand. You know, what can you do to me? You know, you take my life and you just send me home. What can you do to me? Why should I fear people? That's a great foundation, but it's really not, it needs to be real refined, I think. And and when I feel lack, then I get discouraged. You know, sometimes when I feel lack, it's like, well, because I've made a commitment to serve the Lord and not be selfish and not just go after what I want, I'm probably going to stay in lack because I'm not going to go get what I, you know. I remember when Rob Thompson, he came and preached here once, not here, over there. But he was just preaching and he pointed at me and says, you know, he said, your pastor could have made a lot of money in life. And if he hadn't gone into the pastor. And Rob was I don't know if I remember him, but he was a pretty perceptive guy. And he's counseled kings and presidents all over the world. You know, he's a multimillionaire because he got himself to be adopted by Peter Daniels, who's a billionaire from Australia. And I don't even know how he pulled that off. But anyway, Rob's a unique fella, to say the least. But then I sat there and go, what did you just say? And then I got, you know, you can't help but think about it. I thought, well, I don't know how successful I would have been in other areas. And I had a lot of business and they all failed, but I might have got lucky if I kept at it. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about all that. But but I did think, you know, and immediately I thought, well, the thing is, I didn't lose nothing because I gained everything. And I'd far rather walk with God than have all the prosperity in the world. I'd far rather have a loving relationship with people than be, you know, some you know, powerful, wealthy guy that's always looking over his back wondering who's going to take him out. But all that to say this, sometimes we just kind of justify where we're at instead of saying, where do I need to grow in this thinking? Where do I need to change? If you're not changing, you're not growing. It's an interesting thing. If you're not growing, you're dying. Any plant that's not growing is dying. Anything is, you know. And yet, where do you want to grow in? You know, corporations, they just look at the bottom line. If that's not growing every year, they get weird and they start putting out these, they make horrible decisions. And so I want to just say to you, it's not just growing in finances, growing in one area. It's where am I growing in my general attitude of my maturity in Christ Jesus? Because if I'm not growing, which that means if I'm not changing, I'm not growing and I'm dying. And I don't want to die. I want to live while I'm here. If there's anything I want to do, I was just texting my friend up in North Dakota the other day and we brought it up that, you know, when we depart from this earth, we may be sliding into heaven with our underwear on fire and nothing else. Who knows? But I'd rather go that way than just sit around, you know, waiting, you know, and doing nothing. I want to live while I'm here. So let me just try to relate some things with you. Feeling lack opens the door wide and drags people into really bad decisions. Let me say that again. Feeling lack opens the door wide and drags people into really bad decisions. Psalms 34:10 says this, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Right, isn't that amazing that's in the Bible and not written by somebody else? Because that looks like a con job or something in a way, but it's like the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. I believe it's Psalms 23, isn't it? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I say it every time, but it's getting important. But because as a child, I read that and I didn't understand English. I always thought it was saying, the Lord is my shepherd and I don't want him. And I thought, why wouldn't I want him? I'm sorry, it's just, man, maybe some of you are laughing. Maybe it happened to you, maybe it didn't, I don't know. But I just thought, why is that such a weird thing to say? You know, and then I realized is, the Lord is my shepherd. I have no lack. I have no wants. Everything is taken care of. What, you know, that's not really a religious attitude. I have every good thing. You know, when I back in my early 20s, being married and going after it in so many areas and believing God and in the Word all the time, and one of the words that really caught my attention was abundant. And Jesus, you know, I came to give life and give it abundantly. And so about every I started a Shackley or an Amway business, and it was every title of everything had abundant in it. Because I just wanted a mentality of abundance, of a lot, of everything, a lot of life. I wanted a lot of life. Let's just talk about mindset. We've been talking about mindsets. You know, mindset on the flesh is life, mindset on the flesh is death. Mindset on the spirit is life. Let's talk about mindset on the flesh for a little bit. Because part of that, what is that? What is the mindset on the flesh entail? And part of it is it entails a lack mentality. It just, if you're in the flesh, you're always going to feel lack. You know, I read about billionaires, millionaires, you know, that was a Howard Hughes or... My man, who's a really wealthy guy? But he was so stressed out about everything. You know, he he just was afraid of losing a dollar on any deal. He just couldn't handle it. He couldn't eat anything. No food would stay in him. He was so nervous and everything. He had more money he could ever spend in his whole lifetime, and he was consumed with fear of lack. Doesn't mean how much you got that makes this difference. It's not how much you got in your checking account or savings account that really makes a difference. It's how do your heart perceive your life. And the mindset on the flesh is always going to come up with a lack. It's going to come up, it's going to think about illness, it's going to think about calamity, it's going to think about poverty, it's going to have a poverty mentality. You know, you can go into some communities and you can just tell that the whole community is just consumed with a thought of poverty. There's no thought of abundance. There's no thought that we're going to get better. It's just tighten up the belt, save everything. They got, forgive me, but they got their whole backyard full of stuff that will never be used, never come back. Even an eight-track player is back there. You know, reel to reels. I mean, it's just there's just this mentality of poverty in a lot of communities. And you get there and you start just thinking lack. You're always thinking lack. Then you get around others, and there are some who think in the terms of abundance. But a mindset on the flesh is going to always be with lack. It's always going to be about no hope. It's going to be with complaining. It's going to have doubt. It's going to cancel opportunities. If you're in a cult, you show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If you're around a bunch of people that have the mindset on the flesh, and they're always thinking about these things, they're always gloom and doom. And I realize we got a lot of stuff wrong in the world, but we got a lot more going right than wrong. And sometimes it's just what you want to set your mind on. You know, for some, it's like they have no hope right now for the whole world. It's all going down. And for me right now, I say, man, I think we're going into the greatest age that we've ever been on the face of the earth. I think I just see an abundance, you know. And yet here's an area where I'm personally, right now I'm bringing this out because I'm personally really stretching myself to say, John, get rid of that feeling of lack and get excited and get convinced about abundance, and not just abundance for everybody, but abundance for me. And this is where I'm struggling a little bit. It's like I'm laying my life down. I said, okay, I lay my life down. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to go for myself. And I'm not going to try to succeed just for me. I'm going to do it for the sake of others. But in that belief system, I can tie too much to it, as I've already said. I can tie too much to it that if I get blessed, then somebody else won't. So I need to not get blessed too much. It's the old syndrome with your mom. Bake a pie, have 6 pieces, and there's 7 people in the family. Who doesn't get it? Oh, I heard my mom. You know, no, I didn't really want any pie anyway today. Liar. I finally figured out as she got older, she started getting more honest. No, I want some pie this time. I noticed that. She was like, you know, forget you kids. I'm gonna have my own pie now. So it was true in the beginning. You know, I'm just saying that you gotta kinda analyze your own thoughts and your feelings and your belief system and saying, by me being abundantly blessed, does that mean somebody else gets less? And if that's your mentality, you're gonna struggle. And God's going to struggle to bless you like he wants to. Man, we just sang that song, you know, may the Lord bless you. What a powerful thing to receive a blessing from the Lord. But if you have this mentality that you get too much, then that means somebody else gets too little. And isn't it beautiful, that verse that said, when the manna came, they all gathered as much as they wanted, and then nobody had lack. That's how God thinks about things and looks at things. So the mindset on the flesh is going to have judgment in it. It's going to have no mercy. It's not going to have grace for others. It's going to be all about temporal. It's about get it now or you'll never get it. Let's talk about the mindset on the spirit. Mindset on the spirit is always going to be about abundance. God is always El Shaddai, more than enough. More than enough. If your mind is set on the spirit, you're gonna perceive things not as lack, but having abundance. There's no fear there. If you got lack mentality, you're gonna have fear. It just comes with the territory. If you have a mindset on the spirit, you're going to have an abundance thought process. You're going to have no fear. You're going to be generous just by nature because you don't worry about not being, you don't worry about having lack. Man, the beautiful thing when you come into the Spirit of God and you let Him come into you and transform your mind, you don't have to work at being generous. It just flows out of you. You just look for opportunities to be generous. You kind of start caring for others. Why? Because you know that you're being cared for. You're not worried about yourself anymore. You can take care of others. You can pour yourself out because you already know that God will pour it back into you. I remember I was heading overseas one time to go to the Philippines in the early days, and the guy named Charlie Dulu, he was a Dutchman, proud of his fundamental Dutch stubbornness. Boy, was he stubborn. Boy, he was bullheaded. And Charlie had one arm missing. They had a hook on it. And he's a really big-chested guy. And I was standing up front here. People were praying for me to go on overseas and praying for my blessings. And Charlie came up behind me, grabbed me, and bear hugged me, pulled my feet off the ground, bear hugged me, and then just spoke into my ear. And I was really grateful for it. He spoke, but I was really glad when he's done because I couldn't breathe. Charlie had a bear hug on me to where I couldn't get my chest open. And so I kind of remember that experience, you know, just thinking, man, this would be kind of pathetic to die here in church, going overseas and having somebody pray a blessing, and he kills me. But I do remember what he whispered. One of the things he said, he says, "You pour it all out, and I'll pour it back in." And speaking for the Spirit of God in us. And so when we have a mindset on the Spirit, we have a consuming thoughts that everything is abundant. I can be generous. I'm full of courage. No fear of failing, because even if I fail, there'll be an abundance to cover that. There'll be abundance of grace. There'll be abundance of forgiveness. I don't have to have worry about getting it all here. I've got it forever. 2 Corinthians 9 says this: each one must do just as he is purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having a sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Boy, that's a great viewpoint, isn't it? We can be generous and we can give, and it is actually, this scripture is actually talking about an offering, but it covers everything, that when you are so convinced that there is no lack in your life, that El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough, is your Father, and He cheerfully gives you all things, and you know from this word that if He didn't withhold His Son, He won't withhold one good thing from you. When that is your consuming thought, that's your mindset, then everything else just begins to flow. Your generosity, your hope, your lack of fear, everything comes into place so beautifully. And you know, and we're kind of proud out in this area to be proud of being conservatives. You know, we don't like to waste money. We don't like to waste things. But, and that's good. I'm with you. But I've had to let a lot of, I'm working to let a lot of that go, because it's like, that whole mentality is not from God. You know, when I hear people say, well, the world is going down the tubes and we won't have enough water and we won't have enough of this and we won't have enough oil and gas and we won't have, I go, you guys are lying. You're of the mindset of the flesh, and it's always a lack mentality. Always. It's always not enough. Always. So you can't waste anything, because not, man, my grandmother, you know, grew up in the 30s and all that, and she's German and she was tough. And I remember getting in her drawers, you know, in the back utility plane, and she had, you know, balls of string, that every little string. Some of you remember those, you know, any string they put it in. So there's a ball of string there. And so she had that mentality. But my grandfather actually was a school teacher out eastern South Dakota, built a really nice home. And then he felt the call of God to come to Vail, to Empire, and pastor a little Quaker church. And so he left that teaching job, and he just built this brand new house out there, a little two-story house. And they moved out to out here you know, by Empire and homesteaded, and I lived in a really poor house, and then drug a chicken coop up to it and added to onto their house, and Grandma just, well, I remember her talking a little bit. She said, I really didn't mind coming out here and leaving that beautiful home, and you know, and struggling raising sheep and all that, but she said, man, what really bothered me was the water situation. And she said, we'd look out there, and we had dams out there, and they had alkali, some of you know what that is. And those dams looked just really pretty and clear, but you couldn't drink that stuff, or you shouldn't. It could make you really lose a lot of weight. And and so she said, we'd have to go get our water from the dams where all the cows are standing in it and boil that and try to make that purified there. And begin. She said, that really bothered me. I really didn't like that. Well, in time, then we, you know, we got cisterns and all that, and you put that water in there in the cistern, and they had to get us to clean the cistern once in a while. That's a scary experience. You get down in the, you know, this concrete thing in your basement to where the water is to clean it up, and man, there were just worms and mice floating in it. And gunk, you know, and you shovel all that, and you go, dear God, we drink this stuff. I mean, you know, and you can say, oh, I would never drink it. Oh, you have. Oh, I'd never eat it. Oh, no, you have. If you've ever had ketchup on your hamburger, you have eaten some really nasty stuff. If you ever go look at the vats where they make crackers, you would never eat a cracker again, let alone a hot dog. So, if you don't know about it, it's pretty good. But if you know about it, it gets harder. And then my dad drilled a 2,800-foot well, and we had nice, clean, fresh water coming up, and it was awesome. And one thing I noticed about that was my grandmother had no problem. See, before, when you had the cistern, you had to turn the water on, and you put your cup in right away. You didn't let it go down the drain, because then you had to order more water. And so it'd come out warm, lukewarm, and all that. And well, when we got the well, my grandmother turned the water on, walk away, and just let it run. Just let it run. And for a conservative woman, I said, my gosh, she's got a, how did she get that attitude? But she said, man, now that I got water, I just love to see it flow. And I don't know why I said all that except to say, what a mentality we can have. We have rivers of living water in us. There is no lack. But be it done to you according to what you believe. So why do we work on our own hearts to search this out, to say, what is in my heart and what am I believing and how do I perceive things? Because out of that, I'm going to live out of my heart. And the righteous man lives by his faith of what he's persuaded about. And if you're persuaded that it's always going to be lack, if you're persuaded that, you know, and this is ultimately why people go to war. This is ultimately why families fight. This is ultimately why there's quarrels. This is ultimately why there's so much conflict, because somewhere we're believing that there's not enough for everybody. And do you know the world has enough? I mean, you can study this out mathematically. You can study it out in so many ways. When you hear all this stuff of climate change and all that is promoting an attitude of lack. That is not true. It's just not true. Guarantee it's not true. Our God created this world out of his nature, and his nature is abundance all the time. What does he do? He does say, get your motives right. And I'm telling you, a good motive is, Lord, bless me. Bless me abundantly so I can be lavishly generous to everybody. Bless me abundantly in the area of forgiveness. Let me get a hold, let me just bathe in an ocean of forgiveness that I just have no consciousness against myself because of that you've forgiven me, because then I will be that way with others. I will be full of grace for everybody else. I will be so generous to forgive people, to give grace to them. If I really, you know, when Jesus told the parable of the man that had a huge debt and his master's going to send him off to jail, all that, he said, oh, have mercy on me. And he did. He forgave him. And again, Jesus always taught in extreme numbers and stuff. that man's debt was more than the earth had at that time of finances. I mean, it's like you couldn't have that much debt. There's no way a guy could rack up that much debt. And he was totally forgiven. And then he goes out and has a brother that owes him about 10 bucks and puts him in jail. And I think the real big part of that parable or what Jesus was trying to teach is that first guy really didn't believe he was forgiven. If he had really believed that he was forgiven, he would have been so full of grace and forgiveness. He would have told anybody who owed him anything, man, you're forgiven, wouldn't he? I think he didn't believe that the master really forgave him of that debt, so he better go get that 10 bucks. And I think that's this thing that God's trying to tell us. I've taken care of everything. I'll take care of you. Not just take care of you barely, but in abundance. You know, sometimes I feel a little bit bad that some of our testimonies and stories of saints before us and even saints now, sometimes we highlight their sacrifice to the point where it looks so honorable to give up what God has given to you for the sake of somebody else. But the lie about that is he's more than enough for everybody. He's more than enough for everybody. I want to close with just one more thought. And that's in the area of feeling loved. When I don't feel loved, I automatically am on a course to a bad decision. You know, sometimes I've heard it said, you know, early days of counseling people, sometimes a spouse will just say, I feel tolerated, I don't feel celebrated. That's a big one, isn't it? Especially in family relationships. I feel tolerated, but I don't feel celebrated. Some of that, if I deal with it. I've shared with you, I'm coming home after a long day's work and having my kids jump on me was sometimes just I wasn't in the mood for it. And I started realizing that my first 6 seconds, as they say, with somebody is the most important 6 seconds of the relationship. Do you celebrate them? Or do you tolerate them? And I'm not here to try to coach you in marriage or anything else right now, although it applies. But do you feel God celebrates you or tolerates you? Is he the father that is just overwhelmingly joyful to see you prosper? Or is he the father that wants you to learn the hard knocks of life so that you can make it when tough times come? Do you know how that sounds so right to a lot of us? And yet in light of God's abundance, it is so wrong. He can actually teach us how to receive abundance all the days of our life. That if he didn't withhold Jesus, he won't withhold one good thing. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. That's not in our mentality, even here in America. You ever heard the old thing, well, I just washed my car, so I bet it rains today. There's some of that mentality in that. Audrey, would you come and let's sing again in closing. And my encouragement to you all is acknowledge that if you get blessed a lot, it won't mean somebody will get less. In fact, it's just the opposite. The more you get blessed, the more people are going to be blessed around you. And come on up. Is Tyrell still here? Yeah. Come on up, Tyrell. So bust down some of these old belief systems if you can. Just say, God, I want to be blessed. There's an abundance coming. I'm really dealing with this, you know. I fight this. I have gone for the abundance of God, and God has really blessed me. He's blessed our church. We got a brand new building. And yet God is saying, I want to do some more. I want to do more. And I feel like the Spirit of God has actually been really coaching me and trying to tell me, would you please step up and receive? Because for the plans that God has for us, in order for us to execute those plans, we have to receive a whole lot more than we're receiving. And I'm not talking just about money. I'm just talking about strength and energy. I'm talking about, man, I'm not sick today. I'm healthy. But I don't have the energy I want yet. I want some El Shaddai energy. And you say, well, I've had some friends say, well, but John, you're turning 70 in a few months. That's what happens in life. Well, maybe that's what happens for some. Right? Right? Wasn't Moses the one that says, I'm 80 years old, give me the mountain? Let's be unique. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, I don't know where everybody's at today. I don't need to know. Don't care. But I think you're stirring in our hearts today and saying, lay some old thinking down and rewrite that heart and let that heart go out, and that God is abundant and He came to give us abundant life. And yes, we will lay our lives down and we'll do whatever you tell us to do. And after whatever suffering, we'll join, we'll go right into it with you. But you lead us. You always lead us in triumph. You always lead us to the heart of God, and the heart of our Father is abundance. He's never made just a few fish. He's never made just a few little bugs in the ground. There's just gazillions of them in there. And every day our scientists are saying, wow, we found a new species. Wow, we found this. Oh, we didn't know we had that. Oh, we thought we lost that one, and it's back again. Oh, my gosh. Because you are a God of abundance. And we're asking today, help us. Help us open up our hearts and receive your abundance to your glory and for your name's sake. Amen.
Pastor, there's a phrase that's been going through my head ever since the last couple of minutes of what you were talking, and I just want to share it, but anybody can use it for whatever if they just get it from their head to their heart. But that would be, somebody's going to get blessed, might as well be me.
Pour out of us to everybody around us, and we give you the praise. thank you ahead of time. Amen. Amen. Well, go feel loved.